The broadcast is now starting. All attendees are in listen-only mode.
Can you hear me, Baba? Show my screen, that's on the screen.
Sarvesham Suprabhatam. Can you see the screen?
Yes.
Yeah.
I can see the screen.
Yeah, thank you. So, we start with the Prarthana. Yogena chittasya padena vacham malam sharirasya cha vaidyakena yopakarottam pravaram muninam patanjalim pranjaliranatosmi. Sarvesham Suprabhatam. Sauramana Nava Varshasya Api Shubhashayaha. The new year based on solar calendar has started yesterday. So today I am offering my wishes to everyone. Yoga Sutra Parichayasya Shadvimshaha Vargaha. Yathapurvam vayam purvatana kakshayaha punaravartanam kritva agregachamaha. So we'll review the previous class now briefly and then we'll proceed ahead. So various siddhis, we have started discussing various siddhis. The extraordinary powers that a yogi attains by the practice of sanyama, that is dharana, dhyana and samadhi. So that has started in the third chapter. So we saw about antardhanam, how by using his sanyama a yogi vanishes. Aparanta jnanam is the knowledge of the time of death. That was mentioned in the 22nd sutra. 23rd sutra mentioned about attaining various strengths. Balani, Maitri Balam, Karuna Balam, Mudita Balam. Actually, in the 23rd sutra, it's all about only these three balas. Maitri, Karuna and Mudita Balam. The strengths associated with friendliness, compassion and happiness. And then 24th sutra speaks about hastibaladini. These strengths, this balam is more physical, whereas the previous balam is associated with the intellect. Hastibalam, hasti is elephant, so whichever powerful object the yogi sees and practices sanyama on it, like an elephant or any such physically powerful object, so he attains that strength, hastibalam. And then the 25th sutra mentioned about sukshma vyavahita viprakrishta jnanam. Jnanam, knowledge about sukshma, subtle things, that which cannot be known by naked eyes. Vyavahita, that which is beyond some blockage, something on the other side of the wall, something like that. Vyavahita, viprakrishta jnanam. Viprakrishta is that which is far removed, that which is very far away. So knowledge about such things, that is viprakrishta jnanam. 26th sutra spoke about bhuvana jnanam, knowledge of the world. Knowledge of the geography about the arrangement of the mountains, seas, all that is mentioned as Bhuvana Jnanam. And then Tara Vyuha Jnanam. Tara is stars, Vyuha is arrangement. So arrangement of the stars. So that is known by Chandre Tara Vyuha Jnanam. And then next one is Tara Gati Jnanam, Dhruve Tad Gati Jnanam. By doing Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi on the Dhruva, the pole star, then one attains knowledge about the movement of the stars. So what are the various, in what various ways they move, that is understood by Tara Gati Jnanam, the 28th Sutra. So all these, as we could see, is more external. And now the next part, we move into the internal space in the human body, associated with the human body, more associated with human body, in the next set of vrittis. So next one is, we move into today's class, Nabhi Chakre Kaya Vyuha Jnanam. Nabhi Chakram. Nabhi Chakram is the circular navel, that is Nabhi Chakram. The navel which is circular in nature, that is Nabhi Chakram. And by doing Sanyama in that Nabhi Chakra, what is attained is Kaya Vyuha. Kaya Vyuha is the arrangement of the various components of the body. Bhoja, there are various explanations to this. According to Yoga Vartika of Vijnana Bhikshu, he says that in the formation of the fetus, in the mother's womb, he says that it is the nabhi portion, it is the navel portion which is formed first. I don't know whether this is scientifically right or wrong, but I am just presenting the knowledge that is there in the texts. It has to be verified. So Vijnana Bhikshu's view is this. So in the formation of the fetus, first a lump of lump is formed, lump of flesh that is formed, and from that various limbs they sprout out. So that lump finally that becomes the navel portion. Ultimately, when all the limbs are formed, that core lump becomes the nabhi region, and hence the nabhi chakra is given importance in this. And as all the limbs are formed from this nabhi region, so by doing sanyama on this, all the arrangements of the body can be known. I will just mention as to what this Kaya Vyuha means. Now, let's first focus on what Nabhi Chakra is. Bhoja, on the other hand, says Nabhi is the place where all the nadis of the body originate. And hence, as the nadis are spread all over the body, by focusing on the root of all the nadis, one knows the arrangement of the constituents of the body. In Yoga Sudhakara commentary, again, Nabhi Chakra is equated to the Manipuraka Chakra, you know, in the Shat Chakras. So Nabhi Chakra is equated by Yoga Sudhakara, the commentator of Yoga Sudhakara, Sadashiva Brahmendra, as the Manipuraka Chakra, which has 10 petals. So that chakra is mentioned as Nabhi Chakra. So this is the view of Sadashiva Brahmendra. So this is the view on Nabhi Chakra. This is another view. And so these are the various ideas on the term Nabhi Chakra. So one says that it is the original lump from which all the limbs sprout out, and hence Nabhi Chakra is important. The other commentator says Nabhi Chakra is the root of all the nadis, and hence this Sanyama is important. And more in a tantric way, in the plane of chakra, Yoga Sudhakara commentator says it is the Manipuraka chakra. So Nabhi Chakra is associated with so much significance, and by doing Sanyama, Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi on this Nabhi Chakra, what is attained is Kaya Vyuha Jnanam. What is Kaya Vyuha? Kaya Vyuham Vijaniyat Vata Pitta Shleshmanaha Trayaha Doshaha Santi Dhatavaha Sapta Paglohita Mamsa Snayi Vasthi Majja Shukrani Purvam Purvamesham Bahyamityeshaha Vinyasaha. There are the three doshas, Vata, Pitta and Kapha inside the body, and also the Sapta Dhatus, Tvak, the skin, Lohita, blood, Mamsa, the flesh, Snayu, the muscles, Asthi, bones, Majja, the marrow, Shukra, the sperm. All these are the various constituents of this physical body. And then they are arranged in a consequent fashion. That is, the innermost part is the Shukra, and then comes the marrow, and then comes the Asthi, the bone, and then comes the muscles, the Snayu, and then comes the flesh, and then Lohita, that is blood, and then finally the skin. So in this way, the Kaya's Vyuha is found. The Kaya, the body, is arranged in this manner. So, this is the knowledge that is attained, this arrangement, how they are. One can directly visualize or understand the arrangement of these Sapta Dhatus, and also the three doshas, Vata, Pitta and Kapha in the body. So, that is attained. What the Vivaranakara or the sub-commentator on Yoga Sutra's commentary, Shankara, says that one can directly visualize by this Sanyama all these constituents of the body, and not only that, the level of them, how much Vata, how much Pitta, how much Kapha is there in the body, what is the level of Vata, Pitta and Kapha, all that can also be known. That is Kaya Vyuha. Not only the direct perception of these limbs in the body which are there, along with that the status of these limbs can also be known. So that is Kaya Vyuha Nabhi Chakra. So from the point of view of Yoga Chikitsa, at a subtler level, a yoga ideally, I don't know how far yoga therapists can go into their Dharana, Dhyana and Samadhi. There are many yoga therapists these days, but the real yoga therapy will happen when, this is my opinion, when this yoga therapist is capable of doing this Nabhi Chakra Sanyama, and then understanding the Vata, Pitta, Kapha and the Sapta Dhatus of the body. So this becomes the real yoga diagnosis. So when a yogi directs his Nabhi Chakra Sanyama on his own body, he knows his own physical arrangement, physiological arrangement. And probably when he directs his Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi on the patient or whoever is seeking a relief through yoga, in his Nabhi Chakra, if he does Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi, I'm just taking it ahead. Then probably he understands the Kaya Vyuha, the arrangement of the body, and also the status of the various limbs, the organs that forms part of the anatomy and physiology of the patient. So then the clear knowledge, the yogic clarity about the person's health is attained. So, probably yoga therapists should aim at this, at least at the later part of their career. So, these levels of yoga therapy are there to be touched. So, that is my humble idea. It's really difficult to attain sanyama, but these are the standards that have been set in the Yoga Sutra text. Next one is Kantakope Kruk Pipasa Nivrittihi. So, by doing sanyama in Kantakopa, what is achieved is Kruk Pipasa Nivrittihi. What is Kantakopa? Kantakopa is again described by Vyasa as Jihvayaha Adhaha Tantuhu. Tato adhastat kantaha, tato adhastat kupaha, tatra sanyama krutpipase na badhete. So he says, below the tongue is the voice box. And then below that voice box is the throat, kantaha. Tato adhastat kupaha, below the throat and just at the joining point of the throat and the shoulder blade, there is a depression. So, that depression is called as kupaha, kantha kupaha. So, that kupaha is the place where sanyama has to be done. On the kantha kupa, when dharana, dhyana and samadhi are practiced, then what is achieved is krut pipasa nivrittihi. Krut is hunger, pipasa is thirst. So, krut nivrittihi, pipasa nivrittihi. So, one is free from hunger and thirst. So, as all the food that we take in and the water that we take in passes through this kantakupa into the body, this is the junction. That kantakupa is the junction where it enters into the abdominal region and from the throat. So, in that junction, when one does this sanyama, kantakupa sanyama, then khut pipasa nivrittihi is achieved. Freedom from thirst and hunger is achieved. Why would one, a yogi, require from the freedom from hunger and thirst for prolonged period if he has to focus, meditate, enter into deeper states of samadhi? Probably he needs to prepare himself for that long haul. So, for that purpose, he uses this kantakupa sanyama to overcome hunger and thirst, so that he is not troubled by the physical requirements and he still survives. So, and he is capable of sustaining his focus in his meditation or in his contemplation. So, we see Ramana Maharshi having meditated for continuously many days together, and Buddha's life also we see that he sat for days together, so to attain his siddhi or bodha. So probably they would have used this kantakupa sanyama to overcome hunger and thirst. That is kantakupa sanyama from the 30th sutra. Next one is
Jai Ramji, are you saying that the kantakupa is in the front or the back?
No, according to the Vyasa's commentary, does not go deeper. It simply says it just pinpoints the physiological location of that kantakupa. And even in the sub commentaries, we do not find any more details. Probably we have to search in the Yoga Upanishads for more detail on kantakupa. What Vyasa says is there is the tongue, jikvayaha adaha tantuhu, below the tongue is the voice box, and below the tantuhu is the throat. The throat region is just below the voice box, and below that throat there is a kupa. Kupa is a depression. One can feel it in the at the end of the throat, just above the shoulder blade. One can feel the depression in the throat. That is mentioned as kantha kupa, and nothing beyond this, no information beyond this is available in the commentaries.
No, but I mean, when you say shoulder blade, I think everything's in the front of the body, and then when you say shoulder blade, that's the back, so that's where the confusion.
No. What I meant was the bone, the collarbone, rather. It should be the collarbone.
Okay.
So I'm wrong in the English usage. So the collarbone, so the joining point between the throat and the collarbone is the kantha kupa. I'm sorry for this mistake.
Okay.
So this is kurmana, the kantha kupa, and then which leads to krutpipasa nivrittihi. And then the next one is kurmanadyam sthairyam. By doing sanyama on the kurmanadi, what one attains is sthairyam. We have come till the kantha kupa. The depression just below the throat. Vyasa asks us to go further below. Kupa dadaha urasi kurmakara nadi. So just below that kantha kupa is in the chest region, urasi kurmakara nadi. There exists a nadi which is in the form of a turtle or a tortoise. So that is kurma nadi. So again, the physiological location is given just below the depression in the throat, just after the throat, in the chest region. There is a nadi which has the shape of a turtle or a tortoise. That is called as kurma nadi. And tasyam krita sanyamaha sthirapadam labhate. So when one does sanyama in that kurma nadi, what is attained is sthairyam. Sthairyam is stability. One cannot move the yogi. He becomes unshakable. Going by the commentary, Vyasa further says, yatha sarpaha godhava iti. So what is this stability? When we say about stability, people start interpreting it as the physical, the intellectual focus, the firm focus and other things. But as far as my understanding of the commentaries go, stability here refers to the physical stability. The yogi cannot be physically moved by any person. Yatha sarpaha godhava iti. As the sarpaha, the serpent, and the godha, the monitor lizard. There is a kind of a special lizard which is called as udumbu in Tamil. So that godha, there is also an asana called godha peetham. So in the form of that lizard, monitor lizard, it is so firm, it's unshakable. One cannot, if it decides to stay in a place, it will stay. So it has, that lizard has to release itself to come out on its own. One cannot move it or drag it away. So such firmness, physical firmness, is attained by a yogi by practicing the sanyama on the kurma nadi, which is present in the chest just below the kantha kupa. Again, further to ward away physical dangers, being dragged away when he might be practicing in tapas in the forest or some such places for to be able to firmly be seated in his position, not to be dragged away by various beings around. Probably this Kurmanadi Thairyam would be required for a yogi. A yogi can use it for any purpose. So this is to attain the physical motionlessness, firmness, unshakable firmness that is attained by the Kurmanadi Thairyam. The next one is Murdha Jyotishi Siddha Darshanam. By doing Sanyama on the Murdha Jyoti, Siddha Darshanam is attained. Murdha Shiraha. Murdha is the head and Antaschidram Prabhaswaram Jyotihi. I'm just reading out from Vyasa's commentary where he says there is the Brahmarandhra, there is an opening on the head, which is the point where the Sushumna Nadi ends. Antaschidram Prabhaswaram Jyotihi. So what Vyasa says is there is a gap in the skull, antaha, which is inside, chidram, and prabhaswaram jyotihi. From there emanates an extremely bright light. Tatra sanyamat, so on the top of the head, inside the skull, there is a small opening, and where there is extremely bright light. So when one practices Sanyama on that light, on the top of the head, then what is attained is Siddha Darshanam. One can see Siddha Purushas. One can see yogis who have concealed their physical existence by the yogic powers. So such higher beings who are not visible to the naked eyes can be seen by this Murdha Jyotis Sanyama. By doing Sanyama on the light on the top of the head, Siddha Darshanam. Yoga Sudhakara, the commentator of Yoga Sudhakara says that the Sushumna Nadi ends in that particular portion of the head, and hence the light emanates. Due to the influence of the Sushumna Nadi, the light emerges. By this, the Siddha Darshanam happens. So only the commentator of Yoga Sudhakara reasons out as to what is the source of the light. Why is there a light on the top of the head? He says the light is because of the association with the Sushumna Nadi. So this is Siddha Darshanam. Murdha Jyoti Siddha Darshanam. Yes, so that is a question. What is Nadi? This is a basic question. Yes. Nadi is channels. Generally to say, they are channels. In right from the Vedic texts, we find lots of references to the nadis. For example, in the Upanishad, Shatanchaika cha hridayasya nadyaha, the entire body has 101 nadis, 101 nadis the entire body has. They are subtle channels of energy, and it is through this energy it is through these channels that the prana flows. So nadi is nadi can simply be defined as the channels through which the prana flows. And according to the Vedic the reference, we see that there are 101 nadis. The 100 nadis are associated with the 10 indriyas, and one nadi is the Sushumna nadi. Later texts keep adding on to the number of the nadis. Branching out from these 100 nadis are 72,000 nadis further. So the later yogic texts develop this concept of nadi in great detail. So the basic idea is nadis are channels through which the prana shakti passes through. I have a hand raised here by Sharada Gopalan. I'm just unmuting her. Yes, madam. Sharada madam, you can now speak. You have been unmuted. You can speak, madam. Sharada Gopalan.
Murdhani Shakti.
Sorry? Murdhani Jyoti.
Shakti. Jyoti. Can you explain that a little bit?
Yeah, yeah. So this was your question?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Right. Murdha is head. Jyoti is light. So this is the meaning, the plain meaning of the two words is light on the head. That is Murdha Jyoti. Going into the commentaries, when we see Vyasa's commentary, I add nothing of my own. So all that I do, I refer to the commentaries, the wordings of the commentaries. Murdha is Shiraha, or the Shiras, the skull, the head region. Shirah Kapale. Kapala is the skull. The head we know, and then there is the skull, Kapala, and then Antashchidram. In that Kapala, in that skull, there is an opening inside the skull. That's what Vyasa says, Antashchidram. In that chidram, or that opening inside the skull, there is Prabhaswaram Jyotihi. There is a brilliant light. So this much of information on Murdha Jyotis is available from Vyasa's commentary. I further added the cause of the light. What is the cause of the light in the skull, inside the opening of the skull? I quoted from Sadashiva Brahmendra saying that light is caused by the Sushumna Nadi. There are three basic nadis. One is Ida, the other is Pingala, and the third one is Sushumna. Ida and Pingala nadis are associated with our breathing directly. To our worldly survival, Ida and Pingala are essential. The intake and expulsion of prana, that happens through Ida and Pingala. Whereas if one has to transcend the mere worldly existence to higher spiritual planes, one has to move into the Sushumna Nadi. So, as Sushumna is associated with higher spiritual life, the commentator of Yoga Sudhakara reasons out that it is the path of light. Sushumna is the path of light. And so the place where the Sushumna Nadi ends in the skull should also possess that light of higher spiritual plane. It is a path of light. It is the Sushumna is a path of light which leads us to higher bright spiritual plane of existence, and hence at the end of the Sushumna Nadi, Yoga Sudhakara Kara mentions that there is light. So this is about Murdha Jyoti. So when this Murdha Jyoti is focused upon and Dharana Dhyana Samadhi are practiced on this Murdha Jyoti, a yogi now starts seeing others who have already reached that higher spiritual plane and who have concealed their physical existence by their spiritual powers. They are the Siddha Purushas. They are all around us, but we cannot see them because we have not achieved the power of perception of them. So by practicing this Murdha Jyoti Sanyama, we probably attain the power of seeing them. So why should a yogi aspire to see those siddhas? Probably to get initiated from them, to get more deeper, intricate knowledge about the self. Probably that should be the purpose. Murdha Jyotishi, Jyotishi Siddha Darshanam. So this is Sutra 32 and then 33. Pratibhadva Sarvam. Pratibhadva Sarvam. So by doing Sanyama on Pratibha, what is achieved is Sarvam. So what is Pratibham? Pratibha is beautifully described by Vyasa in his commentary. Yatha Udaye Prabha Bhaskarasya Tenava Sarvameva Janati Yogi Pratibhasya Jnanasya Utpattau Iti. Pratibha is the light of the dawn. It is like the light of the dawn. Till the day breaks, everything is covered in darkness. When the light of the dawn spreads, it's not the sunrise I am mentioning about, it is the light of the dawn. When the light of the dawn spreads, all that is covered so far under darkness slowly starts revealing itself in the light of the dawn. Similarly, the Viveka Jnana between Prakriti and Purusha is the sun, and the Pratibha is like the light of the dawn, the light which can be seen even before the sunrise. It is an indicator of the upcoming manifestation of Viveka Jnana. As the light of the dawn is a precursor of the sun which is about to rise, similarly, Pratibha is an internal experience which indicates the upcoming arisal of Viveka Jnanam. So that is the meaning to the word Pratibha. So a yogi who has progressed, who is constantly contemplating or reflecting and thinking about the difference between Prakriti and Purusha, ultimately one day attains the Viveka Jnanam or Viveka Khyati. Before the arising of Viveka Khyati, Vyasa mentions that an internal experience is felt when a mild light of knowledge is spread in the intellect, through which everything can be seen. That is Pratibha Jnanam. It's a very subtle experience which is just before the arisal of the Viveka Jnanam. So, Yatha Udaye Prabha, during the sunrise there is Prabha. Just before the sunrise there is Prabha, Bhaskarasya. Tenava sarvam janati yogi pratibhasya jnanasya utpattau iti. When that pratibhajnana arises, yogi slowly starts to see everything in the light of the viveka jnana. So when sanyama is done on this pratibha experience, then everything slowly starts revealing itself. The past, present and future of everything is gradually realized through this pratibha jnanam. Even in the 54th sutra of the same pada, we will be discussing more on this pratibha. So at this point in the commentaries, we see this much of a description on pratibha. Pratibha, going by the root, comes from the word pratibha. Pratibha means that which is attained by pratibha. Generally means, in general dictionary, if you just refer to the meaning of the word pratibha, it would simply mean talent, pratibha. Talent is the one which comes from inside. It is not something which is instilled from external source. It is developed, of course, by external practice. For example, an athlete is there. He runs very fast. But there is an internal talent in him, an aptitude in him, an orientation inside him, which pushes him towards further practice. So it is pratibha generally means a talent which is innate to an individual, which is not borrowed. So, with reference to the Prakriti Purusha Jnana, what is Pratibha? It is the innate realization of the difference between Prakriti and Purusha. It is a Sakshatkara, which is not something mentioned in the texts. See, of course, in Yoga Sutra, in Sankhya literature, the difference between Prakriti and Purusha, all that is mentioned. This pratibha is not the simple memory of that which has been mentioned, the difference between Prakriti and Purusha which has been mentioned in the text. It is the innate realization by deep contemplation about the difference of Prakriti and Purusha that rises in one's intellect. That is pratibha. I hope this is clear. I'll just make it mention it once again. Pratibha is an innate talent which is not borrowed from outside. The texts speak about, the various books on yoga speak about the knowledge of Prakriti and Purusha, all that is external to an individual. The realization that is attained by the talent of a yogi himself. What is talent there? His focusing of the intellect towards that realization. So that knowledge which is achieved by one's own contemplation, the difference between Prakriti and Purusha, is called as Pratibha. And this Pratibha is the precursor to the much more stronger Viveka Jnana, which is said to arise in the mind of yogi, according to Vyasa's Bhashya. So when this Pratibha is achieved, Sarvam, the past, present and future of various things, all the things can now be perceived by the yogi. This is Pratibhadva Sarvam. And then Hridaye Chitta Samvit, the next one. Hridayam. Hridayam is the heart. And the heart, from the point of view of yoga texts, is considered the seat of the Atman and also the intellect. So by doing Sanyama on the Hridaya, which is the seat of the intellect and the soul, what happens is Chitta Samvit. Again, the Chitta Samvit has been presented variously in various commentaries. Chitta Samvit generally means Samvit is knowledge. Knowledge about the Chitta. The knowledge about the operations of the Chitta is achieved by focusing on or by practicing Sanyama on the seat of the soul and the Chitta, that is Hridayam. So Vyasa says, Yadidam asmin brahmapure daharam pundarikam veshma tatra vijnanam tasmin sanyama chitta samvit. So, that which is mentioned as Brahmapura, the seat of the Brahman or the city of the Brahman. So, by doing dharana dhyana samadhi on the chitta, on the hridayam, which is the seat of the Brahman, one can realize or one can attain Chitta Samvit. Interestingly, Hariharananda Aranya, who is a recent commentator, comparatively recent later commentator, he says that Tasmin Sanyama Chittasya Samvit Hladakaram Jnanam, a pleasant knowledge. A knowledge which gives happiness, a knowledge of happiness is attained by doing Sanyama on Hridaya. That is his view on Chitta Samvit. And Tattva Vaisharadi, the commentator of Tattva Vaisharadi, Vachaspati Mishra says, Chitta Samvit refers to the Purusha himself, who is the knower of the Chitta. So, there are various, as I mentioned, there are various interpretations to the term Chitta Samvit. But basically, the general understanding is, by doing Dharana Dhyana Samadhi on the Hridaya, on the heart, what arises is knowledge about Chitta. This is Hridaye Chitta Samvit. Next one is Swartha Sanyama. Which leads to Purusha Jnanam. I'll just briefly mention this as we are running out of time and then elaborate upon this in the next class. Sattva Purushayoho Atyanta Asankirnayoho Pratyaya Visheshaha Bhogaha, and the sutra is also long. Parartatvat Swartha Sanyamat Purushajnanam. Actually, going by the commentaries, this sutra itself is made up of two sentences. That is, Sattva Purushayor Atyanta Sankirnayoho Pratyaya Visheshaha Bhogaha. There ends one sentence. Parartatvat Swartha Sanyamat Purushajnanam. That is the second sentence. It is actually the second sentence that contains the focus of the Sanyama and also the result of the Sanyama. The focus of the Sanyama is Swartha, and then the result of the Sanyama is Purusha Jnanam. The first sentence just helps us to arrive at the object of focus for this sanyama. Sattva purushayoho atyanta sankirnayoho. Sattva and purusha. Sattva here refers to the intellect. Sattva does not mean the sattva guna. This has been made very clear in the commentaries. Sattva, it is the intellect in which the sattva is dominant. That's all. So, sattva can here clearly here means the intellect. Sattva and purusha are atyanta asankirna. By studying the nature of both the sattva, the intellect, and also the purusha, we can see that they are atyanta asankirna. They are extremely different from each other. Their nature do not match with each other. And they cannot be clubbed together. On analysis of the nature of both the intellect and the purusha, the soul, one can see that they cannot be mixed together. But still, pratyaya avisheshaha. But still, what happens is a knowledge arises, the pratyaya or the thoughts and the notions arise in the mind, which mixes these two, which confuses the identity of these two as to be one and the same. Pratyaya avishesha, avisheshaha, non-differentiation. Thoughts that do not differentiate the difference between prakriti and purusha. When the difference between prakriti and purusha is not known, they are mixed together. Though essentially they are extremely different from each other, then what happens is called as bhogaha. Bhogaha, experience. All the experiences of pleasure and pain in this world is due to the mixing of the identity between the intellect and the soul, sattva and purusha. That is bhogaha. That is the meaning of the first sentence. The next sentence says, parārthatvāt svārtha sanyamāt puruṣajñānam. The next sentence says, parārthatvāt, parārtha, that bhoga, one can feel that experience and experience of pleasure and pain can be felt. It can be felt because it is parārtha. It is from the intellect. It is from the intellect which is parārtha. It is from the intellect which exists for someone else's service. Parārtha. Parārtha refers to for the purpose of the other. This bhoga, because it rests in the intellect, which is for the service of the purusha, this bhoga can be seen. See, the buddhi can always be seen. It is in this buddhi where the bhoga resides. And hence, this bhoga is realized. As the bhoga resides in the buddhi, which is termed as parārtha, this bhoga experience is known by one and all. Everyone feels happiness and sorrow because it resides in the buddhi, which is called as parārtha. But from this parārtha, there is anyaha, there is someone else. The commentators say, one has to supply a word anyaha here. Parārthatvāt anyaha, there is someone else from this parārtha. Who is that? Swartha. there is one who exists for himself alone. He lives for himself alone. Swartha sanyam, purusha. Swartha here refers to the purusha. So, who does not have any other purpose. Whereas the buddhi has the purpose to serve the purusha. It is parartha. Whereas there is another thing which is swartha. That is purusha. So, when one is capable of, there are two notions in the intellect, which is parartha and swartha. The parartha, the parartha notion is there in the buddhi, and the swartha notion is also in the buddhi about the purusha. So it is the notion in the buddhi about the purusha who does not serve anyone else's purpose, who exists for his own self. He is purusha. When one does sanyama on this swartha, that is purusha, what is achieved? Purusha jnanam. The realization of the self is achieved. Again, what this purusha jnanam will give is mentioned in the next sutra. Purusha jnanam itself is an achievement, and then all the other benefits that come out of this purusha jnanam is further elaborated in the next sutra. So I have just given the basic idea of the sutra. So one has to do sanyama on the swartha. Who is this swartha? What does this swartha refer to? It refers to the notion in the intellect about the purusha who does not exist for anyone else's purpose, who does not serve anyone else's purpose. That is swartha. Sanyama on that swartha leads to purusha jnanam. We will discuss more about this in the next class. So we will end it here. Any questions? Oh, there are previous questions here. Is the Sushumna Nadi the one coursing through the spinal cord? Yes, madam. It is the Nadi which courses through the spinal cord. Yes. But you do not find any description about the position of Sushumna from the Yoga Sutra text or its commentaries. It is in the later texts in which you find all those description about the position of the Sushumna Nadi. Why I am making this distinction constantly is that many ideas get mixed together as time progresses. So what exactly the Yoga Sutra text says and what the later tradition or later texts say. So we should be very clear about that. So we cannot adduce various thoughts or opinions into Patanjali's text. So that sometimes creates problem. So what Patanjali and his commentators say and what is from different other yoga texts, that we can differentiate. 33rd sutra. Yes, there is a question. Why is there a va? In the sutra pratibhadva sarvam, probably there are various other methods by to the attainment of the knowledge of everything. Sarvajnyatva. Sarvajnyatva can be achieved through various other means, of which Pratibha is one another method. Pratibhadva Sarvam. So far, what has been mentioned is Chandre Taravyuha Jnanam, Nabhichakre Kayavyuha Jnanam, Kanthakupek Sutpipasani Vritti. All these things were individually mentioned. Do Sanyama on the throat, do Sanyama on Kurmanadi, various things. All these are separately spoken in the previous sutras. To attain everything together, one can do Sanyama on Pratibha, which is a very higher thing. Probably Kurmanadi, Stairyam, Kantakupa Sanyama, or Nabhichakra Sanyama, or Mudha Jyotis Sanyama are easier, because they are more tangible. Their description is more tangible. The Sanyama seems to be easier. But whereas attainment of Pratibha is very subtle. The nature of Pratibha is very subtle. So one can individually attain the various siddhis mentioned by focusing on those spots in the previous sutras. But if a person intends to achieve everything together, a bundle of all the previous siddhis mentioned together, if he wants to attain that, then probably he has to do the Pratibha Sanyama, through which he can attain Siddha Darshana, through which he can attain Thairya, through which he can attain Kshutpipasa Nivritti, through which he can attain Kaya Vyuha. So it is one powerful package which delivers him all the siddhis. Or if he does not want all the siddhis, he can go to the individual siddhis mentioned previously. Probably that seems to be the meaning of the Va in this sutra. Again, is Swartha better than Parartha? Is a question by Vijay Raghavan Mahodaya. So here it should be very clearly understood that the Swartha and the Parartha here is spoken at the level of Prakriti and Purusha. In the going by the normal meaning of the word Swartha and Parartha, in the normal usage of the language, what we understand is Swartha is selfishness and Parartha is service of others, paropakara in that sense. But in the context of yoga philosophy, Parartha refers to the activity of Chitta for the Purusha, whereas Swartha refers to the Purusha be existing for himself alone. Purusha being independent. The nature of the soul is to be independent, absolutely free from any bondage. That is the meaning of the term Swartha. And Parartha refers to the Buddhi's survival for the purpose of Purusha, which means Buddhi is an instrument for Purusha. Whereas Purusha is not an instrument for anything else. He is the end. He is the ultimate being. So to indicate that, the term Swartha and Parartha are used in the sutra. Whereas in the normal course of the understanding of the word in other worldly contexts, in the normal worldly context, the word Swartha and Parartha means selfishness and service. That meaning should not be connected to the Yoga Sutra meaning. I hope I have clarified the thing. Okay. So, yes. So we'll end the class here. And Ramanavami wishes to one and all. Parth of Sri Rama is today. So, let's seek the blessings of Rama for the progress and prosperity of everyone here. Thank you all. We'll end the class with the Prarthana Shloka. Yogena Chittasya Padena Vacham ఫలం శరీరస్య చ వైద్యకేన యోపాకరోత్తం ప్రవరం మునీనాం పతంజలిం ప్రాంజలిరానతోస్మి. ధన్యవాదాః.